gracious Father, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our message this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 to 12, verse 8. The title of the message is Seek God Early in Life. The text reads, Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw nigh when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the window grow dim, when the doors are shut in the street, and the sound of grinding is low, when one raises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, when they are afraid of the height and of the terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails, for a man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. When the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. The preacher is King Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes is the sermon of the preacher late in life. He is the richest, wisest man to walk the earth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this book of Ecclesiastes, in this sermon in Ecclesiastes, he's looking for anything on earth that might render permanent pleasure to the individual. And he concludes that all is vanity. Now, in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, this is what Isaiah says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while you are young. Our message today is primarily to our young people. You old folks can listen. But I'm talking primarily to the young people. And some of you are recognizing that you're starting to get old. Well, we have here noticed that man is responsible. God is sovereign, but man is responsible to submit to God and to yield to God in the keeping of the commandments and all of the statutes and ordinances that God has given us. Seek the Lord early in life that it may be well with you. when Joshua was about to take over from Moses to lead the people into the promised land, in Joshua 1:8, we are told that God said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." That is, if you do all of the things that are written in this law. So man is responsible. There's no getting around the responsibility of man. Now, I know that one of the emphasis of this ministry has been the sovereignty of God, but the sovereignty of God should not be put out of balance. And the sovereignty of God is out of balance when you think that you don't have any responsibility, there's nothing that you can do. Well, there is something you can do. You can seek the Lord while you are young. Now, I have a quote here from one of the commentators that I looked at last week. And this commentator, commentating on, writing a commentary on the verses that we're looking at today, said, "It is the greatest absurdity and ingratitude to give the cream and flour of our days to the devil and reserve the brain and refuse and dregs of them for God. This is offering the torn and the lame and the sick for a sacrifice. And beside, old age being thus clogged with infirmities, it is the greatest folly imaginable to put off the needful work until then." That's really what Solomon is saying in our text today. How can we expect God to help us when we are old if we will not serve Him, or if we choose not to serve Him when we are young? Psalm 71, beginning at verse, I want to share with you verses 4, 5, and 6, and then 17 and 18. "Deliver me, O God, out of the hands of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." This is obviously a reference to Satan. Deliver me from the snares and the temptations of Satan. "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. But you, by you have I been upheld from my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually to you." Verses 17 and 18 says, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." Seek the Lord early in life. Too often, I believe, evangelism is directed toward old people or toward mature people. That sounds a little bit better, doesn't it? But I think that is a terrible error. I believe that evangelism ought to be directed toward our young people, and I do try to speak to our young people from this pulpit. Because I know that, the Lord has let me live long enough to see some of the errors of people who refuse to recognize the Lord in their youth. Now, childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Whether you know it or not, you're not going to be young always. And you're going to look back on these young days and say, "Where did they go? They went so fast. Here I am, an old man, an old woman, and I remember, it seems like yesterday, I was young and vital and vigorous." Well, Father Time's got a message for all of us. It is said that play is a child's work. Well, just as grown-ups don't work all the time, children should not play all the time. And this is a lesson that's pretty vital today, because our children want to play from sun up to sundown. They want to play all day long and half the night too, if you'll let them. But what they need is some solid biblical instruction. You need to make them know who God is and what their responsibility before God is. Young children should be trained up in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, that verse tells us that children need training. Beloved, I wish that there was some way that I could impart half of what I've experienced in my lifetime to our young people here. But I can't do that. God has not seen fit to ordain that we should be able to do that. You children have to learn many things the hard way. There are many things that we can tell you, and there are many things that we can teach you, but you're probably not going to soak it in. And what's going to happen is you're going to have to learn it the hard way. I remember one of my children wanted to leave home so badly, and she left home and wasn't gone very long before she called me up and said, "Daddy, they're going to cut my phone off." I said, "Well, did you pay the bill?" She said, "I was going to pay it." You're going to find out, children, somebody is paying when you leave the water running. Someone is paying when you refuse to turn the lights off. Someone is paying when you turn the heat up or the air conditioning up. And you're going to learn that. Sooner or later, you're going to learn that. And I hope that you learn it sooner rather than later. There ain't no such thing as free lunch. I hope you get that. The responsibility of the parents is clearly spelled out in the Bible. We are to do everything that we can do to give our children a secure home, to give them all of the things they need, not what they want now, but what they need. And we should expect our children to respond in obedience. Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That is the first commandment with a promise. Now, I know that that is not politically correct today. I know that. But it's biblically correct. It's what God says in his word. You are to respect your mother and your father, and there is no age limit to that. Now, mama and daddy have to realize that children do grow up, and you can't treat a 20-year-old like you're treating a 10-year-old. That doesn't make sense. But there is a relationship that exists between mother and father and children that does not diminish or go away until the parents pass away. Now, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. If you seek the Lord, you will come to understand this, that you have a responsibility before Almighty God to honor your mother and your father. And I mean honor your mother and your father. Today, what is happening is children don't honor anybody. And they're not responsive to anybody. And mothers have to tell children 15 times before they'll do something. Well, that was not the case when my children were coming along. And when I told my children to do something, I expected them to do it, and I didn't want to have to tell them 15 times. Do it. Because I'm your father. Because I'm going out here to work every day to provide a roof over your head, food on the table for you, clothes on your back, and everything that you need. So when I tell you to do something, I mean for you to do it. What about Almighty God? Almighty God has given us everything and sustains us, and He expects us to respond to Him in obedience and submission. That's not strange. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, what we have in our text today are some expressions that are that were vogue in Solomon's day, but they're kind of strange to us and kind of hard for us to understand. He says here, and I believe somewhat facetiously, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the way of your heart and in the sight of your eyes." Now, if you do that as a young person, you're going to be stumbling and bumbling and fumbling and making a lot of mistakes. But he goes on to say, know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. God is going to bring you into judgment for all of the fumbling and bumbling and mistakes that you make because you didn't pay any attention to your mother and your father, and you didn't pay any attention when you came to church. You sat there and went to sleep. Beloved, I've been pastor a long time. I know when you're sleeping and when you're not. The text goes on to say, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart. Now, what the preacher is saying here is that these things that you have a tendency to do to cheer your days as a youth are going to produce sorrow for your heart. So get rid of all of that stuff. Remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. That means that when you're young and you're a child, you just don't know all of the things that you really need to know. And you need to look to your parents. You need to look to those who are in positions of helping you. One of the things that distresses me greatly is I hear the teachers saying that children no longer pay any attention in school. Well, let me tell you something, young people, you young people who are here. When you go to school, you need the teacher. The teacher does not need you. Now, you may think, well, if it wasn't for me, she wouldn't have a job. Yeah? That may be true. And it may not be true because she may go find a job somewhere else. Or he may go find a job somewhere else. When you walk into the classroom, you need to be submissive to the teacher. You need to keep your mouth shut. You need to sit down and do what you're told to do. And you need to learn all that the teacher can teach you. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the God way. That's the God-given way. Submit to those who have authority over you. And when you walk into the classroom, the teacher has authority over you. Just like mama and daddy has authority over you at home, the teacher has authority over you. Now, let me tell you something, folks. There is no such thing as an independent individual. Oh, boy. What is that preacher talking about? But what I'm talking about is all of us are dependent on God. And all of us are dependent on other people. What do you think would happen in the grocery store if all of the truckers quit driving their trucks? You're dependent on the truck drivers to get that food into that store so that you can go in there and buy it and have something to eat on your table. There's no such thing as independence. We're dependent on a lot of things. And God has set it up this way. But I want to share with you now, the preacher is saying to you, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. Beloved, the difficult days are coming. You may be a teenager now. You may be a pre-teenager now. You may have just gotten out of school or whatever, but the difficult days are coming. And what are the difficult days that he's talking about here? The years are drawing near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. It's coming. Just keep on living. Now, some of us live a long time, and some of us are blessed with good health by God, but some people are not. Some people have ill health, and some people are sick for a long time. But whether you are healthy or sick, and you keep living, the days are going to come when you're going to say, I don't have any pleasure in these days. I don't know if any of you have been to a nursing home lately, but you go to a nursing home and you see people in a nursing home who are absolutely hopeless and helpless. They can't do anything for themselves because they've lived through their lives and now they're old. And the Lord said to Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you get old, somebody else is going to gird you and they're going to take you maybe where you don't want to go. Young people, it's coming. Don't you think for 1 minute you're going to be young forever. You're not. If the Lord delays his coming, and if the Lord is gracious to you, you're going to get old. And when you get old, the preacher says here, while the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. He's talking about what happens to us when we start to get old. We don't see things anymore like we saw them when we were young. Young people see things vibrant and clear and all of that. And when you start to get old, the body starts to break down. You lose your teeth. You lose your hair. You lose your hearing. You lose your eyesight. All of these things happen. So the warning is, seek God while you are young. Because the days are going to come when the keeper of the house trembles and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few and those that look through the window grow dim. Young people, and especially now that we have the communication systems that we have, young people gloat in their strength, and they love to show off their muscles and so forth. Well, come back and check them out about in another 30 or 35 years and see. That strength is going to go. You're not going to be strong always. You're not going to be able to do the things always that you do now. And this is what the preacher is saying. So if you seek God while you are young, or you seek God early in life, God will prepare you both physically and mentally for old age. One of the problems in our society today is that many of our people are not prepared for old age. We don't know how to grow old gracefully. We want to stay young perpetually. Well, that's not going to happen. People are making a whole lot of money on telling folks that you can restore your youth and you can get back all your feelings and you can do all of this, that, and the other thing. That's hogwash. It don't work. God has a plan for all of us. And in God's plan, we have a life. We have an opportunity to hear God's word. We have an opportunity to submit to God when we're young, so that when we get old, we can call on him and expect him to respond to us. But what the preacher is saying here, don't give all of the flower and all of the glory of your life to the devil and expect the Lord to take care of you when you get old. If you want the Lord to take care of you when you get old, you need to seek the Lord while you're young. You need to seek the Lord early in life. He He says here, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease and all of that, and those that look through the window grow dim. Now, these expressions are a little bit difficult for us to understand because we don't talk this way anymore. But what the bottom line of what the preacher is saying here is that things are not going to stay the same. Things are going to change. Things are going to get dim and dull, and the doors are going to be shut in the street. You're not going to want to go out like you used to go out. The sound of the grinding is low, and when one rises at the sound of a bird, that is, old people don't sleep as sound as young people. Did you know that? Now, that might be something for you young people to take cognizance of. When you get old, the least little thing will wake you up. When you're young, you just sleep right on through it. You know? So he's saying here, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and the daughters of music are brought low, that is, you can't really appreciate the music when you get older as you can appreciate it when you're younger because your hearing dims. There are many times I love to listen to classical music, and I have to wait until the house is empty to turn it up so I can hear all of it. Because if I turned it up to hear all of it, I'd be disturbing anyone else who's in the house. But what the preacher is saying here is, while you are young, seek the Lord. Be appreciative of all of the things that God has given you and use them to God's glory. For whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this is a beautiful message here that this preacher is giving us today. And he says here that, you know, also they are afraid of height, the terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about in the street. So what Solomon is saying to us here is that if we don't seek the Lord, if we don't know who the Lord is, our life is vanity, a nothingness, because we are all going to die. And what happens when we die? It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This is a dynamic lesson, not only for our young people, but for all of us. If you are still viable, if you are still strong enough to do anything and you haven't sought the Lord, you need to seek the Lord. You need to seek the Lord now because you need a biblical worldview. And you can't have a biblical worldview if you don't know anything about the Bible. So you need to give some consideration to these things. How many of you have thought about dying? I mean, seriously thought about dying. That's life's last experience. And I know some of you young people think, well, I got plenty of time to think about that. You don't know. You don't know. You ought to read the obituary sometime. A lot of young people die. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain. Now, what Solomon is saying here is that all of these things can take place. The silver cord is loosed, the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is shattered at the fountain. If the pitcher is broken at the fountain, you can't get any water. If the golden bowl is broken, you won't hold anything. If the silver cord is loose, it's not going to, the cord that I think he's mentioning here is the cord that lets the bucket down into the well to get the water, because he says here the wheel is broken at the well. If the wheel is broken, you can't get the bucket down to get the water. So now, I noticed some of you, this is really strange to some of you folks, huh? There was a time when the only way that you could get water was from a well. The well was a hole in the ground, and it had a little brick fence around it. And it had a little roof on it. And a part of the roof was a wheel. There was a wheel suspended in the roof, and there was a rope and a bucket. And you put the hook in the handle of the bucket, and you let the bucket down in the well, and you get the bucket would fill up with water when the bucket went down into the water, and then you take the rope and you pull it till the bucket comes up and you got some water. That's the only way you could get some water. All I have to do is turn the faucet on. Well, that's a relatively recent phenomenon, turning the faucet on, having water in the house. Do you know, young people, that there was a time when the bathroom was out in the backyard? Now, most of you don't know anything about that. Some of you do. Yeah, you know, you had to go to the bathroom. You had to get up and put your clothes on and go outside. So, the history of Israel, the kings of Judah, there was a young man who became king when he was 8 years old. His name was Josiah. And Josiah sought the Lord while he was young. And he got rid of all of the idolatrous things that his father and grandfather had established. Manasseh was his grandfather, Amon was his father. But Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he removed all of the idolatrous stuff from the kingdom. This is Judah now, not the northern kingdom. Israel has already gone into captivity. He removed all of that stuff. And then there was a priest named Hilkiah who found the book of the law in the temple. And he brought the book of the law and read it before Josiah. And Josiah trembled, and he sent to the prophetess, Huldah, to find out what he should do. And the prophetess said that God is going to destroy this place. But because you humbled yourself, and because you trembled at my word, I'm going to give you prosperity and a long life. I believe that that promise would be effective for every young person who commits their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I haven't sinned many, many years because you haven't given me many, many years lately, but forgive my sins by the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and make me the kind of person you want me to be, so that I can develop a right world attitude and serve you. That's a relatively simple prayer that you young people ought to pray. Now, Josiah reinstituted the Passover, and he really did good because he sought the Lord when he was a young man. He had something of a tragic death, but that didn't have anything to do with the favor that he got from the Lord during his kingship in Judah. Now, the text that we're looking at today says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator, because death is on the way. Death is on the way. Now, one of the things that is a little bit disturbing about preaching the gospel, if you're going to preach it as it is in the Bible, you're going to preach things people don't want to hear. The mourners are going to go about in the street after you die, and then pretty soon everything is going to go on just like it is. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. How are you going to fare in the judgment? In the judgment, God is going to assign you either to heaven or to hell. Now, there's no in between. And you're not going to come back and get another chance. I don't care what you read or what you hear. This life is all there is. And when this life is over, you're going to die. And when you die, you're going to face the judgment. And God is going to judge you. And what is God going to say when you come before the judgment throne? Are you going to be declared righteous because you believed in the blood of Jesus? Are you going to be condemned because you did not believe in the blood of Jesus? It's just that simple. Now, if the Lord delays his second coming, we're all headed for a date with death. And it isn't pleasant to talk about this, I know that. But you need to face it. We all need to face it because we don't know when it's coming. You can have an accident on the way home today. There's so many things that can happen. Your life is not guaranteed. None of you, none of us can guarantee that we'll be here tomorrow. It's just that tenuous. Life is just that tenuous. If God would stop your heartbeat, you've had it. There's just so many ways that God can snuff you out. But what we need to realize is that God is merciful and he is loving and he gives us an opportunity to hear a message like this so that we can get our lives straightened out, so that we can get on the right track, so that we can start to develop a biblical worldview, so that we can know what's going on around us. Most of the people in the world don't know what's going on around them. Most of the people in the world today don't know that they are responsible to God. They don't know that they are responsible to keep the Ten Commandments, whether they know them or not. And a lot of people who know them think that they don't matter. But that's God's perfect moral law. People who live in the days of Noah laughed at Noah when he was building the ark and preaching salvation. And Noah, God put Noah in the ark. God brought the animals on the ark and God closed the door. And when God closed the door, it was too late. When God closes the door, if God chooses to close the door on you and you are not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's too late. That's the way it is. There's a litany of changes that take place in the life of those who are blessed of God to live a long time. And we've mentioned some of those changes today. And those changes are coming. Now, you may think that you're going to be young and strong and vibrant always, but that's not the case. If the Lord delays his coming, you're going to start to get old. And you young girls are going to lose those young girl shapes, and you old men are going to lose your hair, and all of these things are going to happen. But there's hope. The hope is the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that hope circumvents all of the other difficulties. So it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And I know that, you know, some of us are so proud and we want to look good and be popular and all of that. So, and this is especially true in the ministry today. There's so many ministers that want to be popular and want to have the mega churches and make big bucks and all of that stuff. And they forget. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Seek the Lord early in your life. You young people who are here, if you need to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and you feel like you don't know how to do it, or you older people who are here who are not committed to Christ, if you want to be committed to Christ even today, you see me or one of the elders and we'll gladly help you. We'll be most happy to help you. Seek God early in life, because you don't know how much time you have. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen. Now, Father, now, God, we do thank you for the Sermon of Solomon. We thank you for the warnings that he gave us today. And we pray that you would help us by your grace. develop a biblical worldview as we are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who left the glories of heaven and came to this sin-cursed earth to be sin for us on the cross. And the Lord Jesus will not turn his back on anyone who calls on him. So, Lord, we pray that you would use this message to your glory and bless our young people in this church with ears to hear and hearts to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.